We'll turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Again, we are thankful to be here, and it's good. These good songs, it's been sung. It's just an honor to get to come in with God's people and try to bring Him honor and glory. Try to lift up praises to His name. And that's what I want to deal with tonight is the glory of God. That's one of them subjects that are bigger than we are, and so you always feel like you just can't quite say enough about the glory of God. But I want us to think about it tonight. You know, we live in a society, and I want to be real careful how I say this, because a lot of times we point at false religion and false doctrine and say, you know, that they have this problem. But really, it's crept in among God's people. I find myself struggling every day. And that is, how can I work God to my advantage? If that makes sense. How can I work God to my advantage? In other words, how can I make God do what I want Him to do? And that is certainly, there's certainly false religion out there that teach that. But the idea that maybe I can live a certain way and I can kind of balance everything out to where I can have my cake and eat it too. I can live like the world, but try to live close enough to God that I can make Him do what I want. And that's certainly a bad way, a bad, poor view of God, a view of looking at God. But it's been told, it's taught on TVs. A lot of these TV evangelists, and I'm not saying everybody on TV is wrong, but there's a lot of junk on there that is garbage, absolute garbage, that teach that faith is the key to our success, and that success being my carnal success, that I can get what I want by almost this idea of commanding God. I'm going to command God to do what I want. Faith is the key to making God obey me. And I know that I'm teaching to very mature Christians tonight, and this may be more toward the younger generation, because there's this idea crept in that if we can just have a little faith and have a little religion and have a little bit of God in our lives, then we can pretty much do what we want, and we can almost wrap God around our finger. And that is not the case. I don't want to discourage anybody tonight of praying. We need to pray, and the petitions that we have were to make it known to God. And God, He certainly knows how to give good gifts to His children. God has blessed me in ways that I can't even describe, because it was personal blessings between just me and the Lord. You wouldn't be able to understand it, and you could probably do the same thing. There's times whenever God has given me exactly what I wanted, the way that I have prayed for it. But this idea that if I just have enough faith that I can make God do whatever I want, however I want it, is just not of Scripture. It's not, you can't back that up with Scripture. And here's what I want to get to. Life is not about me anyway. Life is about the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's how Jesus taught us to pray. We are to live our life in a way that brings Christ honor, that brings Christ glory. When you think about the church is not about getting everything the way we want it and making everything mesh well so that we can come and enjoy ourselves, but rather we are to come together to edify the body, to edify Christ, to edify, to make Christ look good. That's what we're here for. We are to do the will of Christ, just as Christ did the Father's will. Whenever Jesus walked this earth in the flesh, He was not here to do His will. He was here to do the Father's will that sent Him. And you say, well, that was one and the same. I can give you one instance where it was, at least in the flesh, Christ had to He had to submit to the Heavenly Father's will. And that's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to go through suffering on the cross. That's not what I want. But Father, if that's what it takes, if that's your will, I submit to your will. Let thy will be done. And of course, whenever he surrendered to that, God sent angels to come and strengthen him, be able to endure what he was about to go through. But he left us a pattern that this life is not about what you want, it's not about what you get out of it, but about what God wants, what Christ wants. Now, that is in very, it's very big contrast to what's being taught, especially to the younger, my generation and younger. Is what's been taught to us is you get as much as you can get out of life any way that you can. You do what feels good. You do what makes you happy. You do what you set your mind out to do. Now, we've got to be careful with that. Whenever our dreams is what God wants, then we need to chase that. But whenever my dream is what I want, that can get us in trouble real, real quick. And so it's been taught, it don't matter who you hurt. It don't matter if you've got parents at home crying their eyes out over the decisions you're making. If it makes you happy, you do it. And don't worry about the consequences. Don't worry about what it's going to cost. Just do it. If you want something, go get it. It don't matter if you have to borrow money and put yourself in debt and ultimately get yourself in trouble to get it. If you want it, you go after it. Now, life, again, is not about me. Life is not about, if you believe Scripture, you believe what Scripture says, life is not about what you want, but it's about living a life that pleases God. And if we could get back to that, if we could remember, if we could retrain ourselves that life is about the glory of God. If it was strictly about substance, if it was about what I could obtain in this life, then wouldn't our generation in 2019 be the happiest generation ever lived? We have more stuff than anybody's ever had. We have more material possession than anybody ever has. I thought about Brother Giorgio coming and preaching and how that the things that we have and even take for granted. I'll just give you one illustration. A bathtub. One example. A bathtub. For them to walk into our house and see a garden tub, it just amazes them the luxury that we have. And you think, well, a bathtub. Everybody's got a bathtub. You know you could live without a bathtub and be happy. Be content if you had to. You could. But we look at that, that's just foreign. There's no way. But you could. In fact, you go back to generations before us that had very, very little. And they were happier than we are. And they were more content than we are. How could they be content with so little? Because they understood life's not about me anyway. It's about the glory of God. And if we could be reminded of that, whether we have much or whether we have little, the Bible says that you can sit down to a table and have very little on it and be content, as long as there's quietness with it, as long as it brings God honor and glory. So, Jesus had all power in the world to do whatever he wanted. He was God on earth. And there was a time, Brother Alton, when he was tempted 40 days in the wilderness. He had not eaten. He had fasted for 40 days, and afterwards he hungered. If you could imagine going 40 days without having a meal, 40 days without tasting food, and then to be tempted with food. The devil comes on and says, well, if you be the Christ, command these stones to be made bread. I want to ask you something. Could Jesus have done that? Certainly he could. Why didn't he? There was nobody even there to see it. He could have just secretly made these stones into bread and had something to eat. You know he wanted it. You know Jesus, many times we read about him eating, so he hungered. And the Scripture told us he was hungry. But he didn't. Why not? Because getting what he wanted would not bring God honor. So he left it alone. Okay, there's a time whenever he had 5,000 people that followed after him, and they were hungry, and he asked, is there anything? Do we have anything? Well, this one kid brought lunch. Of 5,000 people, one child remembered to bring something to eat. You think he brought enough for everybody? Those teachers. Oh, did you bring enough for everybody? No, I brought my lunch. Jesus took that and he blessed it, and 5,000 people ate. More than 5,000 people ate. 5,000 men plus the women and children. They had a meal and they took up 12 basketfuls. Why did he do that? He didn't have to. He could have sent them all home. Why did he do that? Because at that time, it brought God honor to do and glory to do what he did. So, I'll give you an illustration, and I'm gonna read our scripture. I grew up, one of my good friends was he's crippled. And about he told me this story in his late teens, but about the time he was 7 or 8 years old, his mama took him to one of these self-proclaimed healers. They had the power, the apostolic gift to be able to lay their hands on a person and heal them of whatever it was that they had. That's what the man said. And this boy, his mama took him to the healer. And the healer looked at him and he said, do you have faith that God can heal you? A 7-year-old boy, 8-year-old boy with childlike faith said, I believe with all my heart God can heal me. And the healer laid his hands on him and commanded God to heal him. And he didn't. So he talked to him about faith again. With all my heart, I believe. 3 times he did that. When he got through, he said, son, you don't have enough faith to be healed. And he walked away like that. Now, since that time, he has brought God glory many times with his handicap. But at that time, he was being misled. If you just believe hard enough, you can make God do whatever it is that you want him to do. And if you don't see that happen, then you simply do not have enough faith to make it happen. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. But watch thou, in all things endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. This is Paul, perhaps speaking the very last words that he ever wrote down. He's speaking to young Timothy, and this is right before maybe he was put to death. Verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. Listen to these words. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come to me shortly. Come unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carthus, when thou comest, bring with thee in the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou where also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, and by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Prisca and Aquila, the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Ebulus greeting thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Now, Paul was an apostle. So he had apostolic uniqueness. I believe I can say this about Paul. He had mountain-moving faith. He was one that he had special abilities, or what we call sign gifts. He had gifts that were given for a certain time, for a certain period. And he was able to do some things that I'm not able to do. Now, I believe in prayer. I believe in anointing one with oil. I believe the prayer of faith can save the sick. I believe that. But it's up to God how he saves and what he does. That is different than apostolic uniqueness. That's different than the gifts that they have. And so there was a time Paul, if I can use this term, was long-winded in preaching. He preached for a very long time. In fact, he preached through the night into the morning. And there was a man that was sitting up in a window in the third story. Now, why he was in the window, I have no idea. And why he was sitting there through the night, I don't. Especially when he got sleepy, you would think he'd have got down. But he didn't. He stayed in that window, and because Paul was long in preaching, he fell out of that window three stories. Now, when people gathered around him, they presumed him to be dead. The man's dead. Probably blood, probably broken bones. I'm sure that had to have been a great trauma to the human body. He hit the ground, and Paul walks up to him and lays down upon him and embraces him. And then he goes back to preaching and said he'd be all right. He'll be fine. And the man got up, and he was fine. God did a miraculous thing there. God blessed him. So Paul was a man of great faith. In fact, I just read you, it says, he fought a good fight, finished his course. He kept the faith. He did not lose the faith throughout the course of his life. He was a man to live as Christ, to die as gain. Why did he leave Trophimus sick? If you go back and look at verse 19, it says, Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Why did he leave him sick? He was handy as a minister. He waited on Paul. He helped Paul in the ministry. So why not just heal him? It's just something I want you to think about. Why not just heal him? He could have, maybe, but he didn't. Did Paul just, he woke up on the wrong side of the bed. He didn't have enough faith that day. That's not what it was. He had great faith in the Lord. But for some reason, it didn't bring God honor to heal him. He just didn't do it. Okay? You read this, and there's a lot of humanity that come out in, you see in Paul, that he's saying, get here before the winter time. It's going to get cold after a while. He said, when you're on your way, bring that cloak that I left. Bring that with you. And also bring the books that I like to read, but especially those parchments. Bring those. Why didn't he just make that happen? Just command a cloak. Or why didn't he just, tell somebody they need to come up with a cloak for him? But rather, he wrote back and he told this man, when he come, bring his own cloak. I'm just asking some questions because I want you to think about that tonight. God helped him escape the mouth of the lion here. So God worked in a miraculous way for him. But then again, why didn't he Bible said Paul prayed three times that God remove a thorn from his flesh, from his side. God didn't do that. Why not? Why didn't he just command it to be gone? You see, what I'm trying to get across tonight is this. There is more to this life than simply what I want. There's more to this life than what I think is best or what you think is best. If God just totally gave us the reins, he said, your wish is my desire. You just command it, I don't have... Boy, we'd mess some things up, you know it. I'm glad God didn't turn the will of the universe over to me. But sometimes we act like that's what we want. I feel like I know more than what God does. And, you know, I ought to be able to have this and have that. Well, God knows what he's doing. Oh, life, and I hope you understand what I'm saying with this. Life is not just about my happiness. But we're being taught, our society is teaching. And a selfish attitude is teaching, boy, you just get the most you can out of this life and you do everything you can do to make yourself happy. Yeah. I'm not saying God can't make us happy. In fact, I have been blessed. God has done great things for me. There's been times when God has worked in my life, Brother Alton, in ways that I can't even explain. He's left me speechless. He's left me so happy I couldn't contain myself. Because God is a good father and he knows how to give good gifts to his children. He's not going to withhold anything from us that's not beneficial for us. But life is not all about my happiness. It's not simply about my will. I'll tell you something else. Life is not completely about your comfort. But we've gotten to a point to feel like, oh, everything I can do to make myself comfortable, whatever I've got to do, whoever I've got to step on to get there, whatever strings I've got to pull to get there, I need to make myself comfortable. Life's not all about us being comfortable. It's not about my will. It's not even about my financial status. Again, it's being taught, and I don't know who all this message may be for. It's being taught that if you can just have enough faith, God will make sure that you live on easy street financially the rest of your life. That's just not the case. Life is not about that. It's to God be the glory. How can I bring God glory? So, how's it better for Trophimus to stay behind and Miletum sick? How is that better? Why didn't God just fix that? How is it better that Paul have a thorn in the flesh? Whatever that thorn is. How was that better? Because Paul didn't think it was better. Paul went to the Lord three times with great faith, I might add. Praying, God, fix this. Fix, I want you to take this thorn from me. I don't want it anymore. Whatever it is. So how is it better that he keep it? How is it better that a storm blow up on a boat full of apostles? Because God had the power to make everything still and them have a pleasant journey. How is it better that the storm comes and scare them all to death, and they think they're going to die? Lord, you must not love us. You allowing this to happen. How is that better? How is it better that Israel gets pushed up against the Red Sea and their enemies barreling down upon them, and it scared them to death, think we, you know, there must not have been enough graves in Egypt. He brought us out here to die. I tell you how it's better, because you stand still and see the salvation of God. This situation is about to bring God glory in ways that they'll be preaching about in 2019. How is it better that the storm blow up on these apostles. It's better because Jesus stepped up and he said, "Peace, be still." And great fear fell upon them because they realized they were in the presence of God. That's how it's better. How is it better that Paul had that thorn in the flesh even though it tormented him? Because God saw that he was going to get lifted up in pride had he not had that thorn. So I want to ask you this. How is it better that I got sick this past week? Had to get on antibiotics. These old cold sinus infections. Boy, sometimes I question them things. Hey, why, God, why do I have to have this? It's not easy to stand and preach and try to breathe through your mouth and preach out of it at the same time. How is that better? How is it better that all this rain's been coming and people, the streets have been flooded and there's been people having to get water out of the bottom story of the house and it's a mess. How is that better? How is it better whenever I'm in a hurry to get somewhere, somebody pull out in front of me on a tractor on one of these roads that you can't pass? And I just have to sit there doing about 12 miles an hour thinking, boy, I'm already late. How's that better? Fact is, I don't get to read the end of my story. But I can read the end of these stories and see God knows what he's doing. And by faith, I can trust him. He knows what he's doing. Even whenever maybe he has not answered something exactly the way I think he ought to. I look, sometimes I say, you know, God, a feel-good day wouldn't be that much for you. It wouldn't be that much. If everything, I woke up and everything went right from the time I woke up to the time I went to bed, it wouldn't be that much. But God knows better than I do. And sometimes it's those little things that keep us humble. And it keeps us looking to the Lord. You know, I thought about today. The sun could have shone today. I didn't see it. It's rained all everywhere I went. Seemed like the rain followed me. I mean, every time I got in the car, it rained. Every time. You know, when I think about God, God's the one who created the sun. He could have let it shine all day and it would not have been a problem for him. But I'm going to tell you something about God. He knows more than I do. And he knows more than you do. He could let us make up that lost ground, but sometimes he lets us get further behind. And we wonder sometimes. You look and there'll be a man on this side of the street and it seems like he just lives a carefree life. He never has to worry. And this man on this side of the street seems like everything that could go wrong does go wrong. Why does God let that happen? Because he's the potter and we are the clay. In the midst of circumstances, you know, many times we look at it and think, well, that's just coincidence. But if we'll look hard, what we'll find is God is working and he's there. And he knows us and he's not doing us wrong. He's not mistreating us in any way. Look at, I'll tell you what, this just can't, look over at Acts 17. This goes good with what I'm saying. Acts 17. Verse 14. Now, Paul has had to get out of Thessalonica real quick, so fast that he had to leave his ministers, Timotheus and Silas, he left them behind. Verse 14. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens and received a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed. They departed. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city, wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogues with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the markets daily with them that met with Him. I love that. Paul is in a hurry. And to you boys, you get here as quick as you can. Be on your way. With all speed, you get to me. We've got to get away from here. We've got other things to do. And while he waited, the Holy Spirit stirred him up and said, "Preach to these people while you're waiting." And so he disputed daily while he was waiting for them to get here. You know, you ever have trouble waiting? If there's one thing we have problems with, it's not getting exactly what we want when we want it. We're so used to instant everything. Something to happen immediately. What used to take, you know, once upon a time you had to stick an envelope in the mail and send it to somebody. Now we can push a button, it'll be on the other side of the world immediately. We've gotten so used to that. How many people spend 10 minutes cooking grits anymore? We have instant grits now. 3 minutes, it promises that on the bag. 3 minutes. Your grits can be ready in 3 minutes. We're instant everything. And so it's getting to where we are a people that we're very impatient. And whenever I want something done, I want it done now. Paul was in a hurry. And he wanted the brethren to meet with him with all speed, yet while he waited. Sometimes waiting is so hard. Oh, we're always in a hurry to get things done. And here's Paul, he's stuck waiting for these men. And God's plan was to stir up his heart so that he could preach to idolaters in Athens. That's not what Paul wanted. It's not what he was asking for. It's not about Paul. To God be the glory. Why did he have to go to jail? Nobody wants to go to jail. He went to jail while he was there. He won a jailer to the Lord. It just so happened. That just coincidence. No, it wasn't just coincidence. God put him in jail so he could preach, so that a jailer could be won to the Lord. Why did he get shipwrecked? Of all places on an island full of barbarians. Because they needed to hear about Christ too, just like the Greeks. He preached to the Greeks and the barbarians. One thing that I think is very interesting is this. When Paul stood before Agrippa and preached to him, he almost convinced King Agrippa to be saved. Paul almost persuaded me to be a Christian. He did his part. He preached and the man heard and he had to do what he thought was best. Paul said, "I would to God, you wasn't almost, but altogether persuaded. Altogether, just as I am, except for these bonds." And you know the Bible says there that they would have released him had he not appealed unto Caesar. Oh, why did I do that? Why did I do, God, why did you let me do that? If I had just kept my big mouth shut, I would have been released. I could have been a free man. That's not what God wanted. God wanted him to stand before Caesar. And while he was there, some in Caesar's household got saved. Ain't that amazing? And at the end, Paul was put to death. Wasn't just about Paul, was it? Boy, if serving God is all about me being on easy street, then Paul some kind of messed up. Because he had anything but an easy life. Snake bit, shipwrecked, stoned, whipped, beaten, left for dead, put in jail. The list goes on and on. He learned how to suffer want, didn't he? He learned how to be abased and he learned how to abound. He learned those things. God taught him through trials, tribulations, a life that God had planned that would bring him glory. God said at the very beginning, he said, "I have a lot of things Paul has to suffer for my glory. For me." Not about Paul. It's about him. Does that mean God didn't love Paul? Certainly God loved Paul and Paul loved him. Whenever I have hard things happening in my life, does that mean God, He just don't love me? No, God loves me beyond compare. He loved me so much, He gave His only begotten Son for me. Now, God is good. I don't want you to leave here and think, well, God just has all bad planned out for me. That's not the case. There's blessings that come our way that's so big we can't contain them. There's days of joy that we will laugh out loud. His younger generation know what I'm talking about when I say that. Laugh out loud. We will actually do that. We won't just write it in a text. We'll actually laugh out loud because of what God has done. But there's some things that may come our way that may hurt, may break our heart. It may put us to the limit. But it's not just about me and what I want. It's about God. To God be the glory. We'll ask for a song.